It's good to see each and every one of you here. We thank you for your presence. I want to mention a few things before we get started. I want to remind our third through sixth grade about our devotional tonight, immediately following our services up in the lighthouse. And there's some things been bought, purchased to play a game that you will not want to miss. So I'll just leave it at that, and you look forward to being with us here in just a few moments. This afternoon, we had several people from different churches, several young people, to participate in our final Bible Bowl of the season. And as you'll see down front here, this blue banner that says Bible Bowl winner, our junior team won first place today, and so we are proud of them and want to congratulate them for all their hard work and for getting ready for this, participating in this area Bible Bowl, and also getting ready for the LADSA Leaders Convention. I appreciate so much Brother Steve Shelton this morning and the fine job that he did, and all the other men that stand before us, Brother Ed, Brother Harvey, and Brother Don, and the fabulous job that they do. Tonight, we have in our audience one of my friends and a brother in Christ, and started taking a class at Heritage, and he's a classmate, and that's Brother Stephen Gill over here. Brother Stephen preaches up in Tennessee, and Brother Todd, I know he's not here for this reason, but if you need a speaker, Brother Stephen Gill can preach the gospel. And I'm glad to be associated with him and to be in class with him. He is inspiring and encouraging. And Brother Stephen, it's good to have you with us tonight. Do you see those commercials on television? Credit Karma? And they're talking about checking your credit score. Well, this one here is one of my favorites. The young lady, she pulls up her sleeve, talking to her friend, and she's talking about how she got this tattoo of her credit score, and she's bragging about it. And her friend says to her, "Don't you know those change?" And she said, "What are you talking about? Tattoos do not change." And then she says, "No, your credit score." And so she goes on and she begins talking about, they begin talking about checking your credit score and how easy it is and things like that. And you know, checking our credit score is important, isn't it? But tonight I want us to think about a score that is very much more important. And that's our spiritual score, or our spiritual number. Turn, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And we're going to tonight look at the parable of the sower. In Jesus' day, people would, Jesus used parables. And what that meant was, is that he would tell a story that would have a spiritual meaning that literally the word means to throw alongside. And so he would tell this story and throw alongside a spiritual meaning. We might say today, an earthly story with a heavenly or spiritual meaning. And so Jesus tells this earthly story about a farmer or a sower, if you will, that goes out and sows seed, and he throws alongside a spiritual meaning. Many times when we look at this parable of the sower, we are focusing on our going out and spreading the word of God, the word of God, the gospel, the seed. And we talk about the different soils that as we share the word of God, the different types of soil that it might fall on. And that is true. That's the meaning of the text and of the parable. But tonight, for our time, I want us to think of this parable from a little different angle. Instead of thinking about our going out and sowing the seed of the gospel and the different types of soil that it might fall on, I want us to look at these types of soil, to see what caused them to be that way, and then evaluate our lives and see where we fit in on these different types of soil. Which type of soil are we? Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, Jesus says, On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So that's the scene. Jesus gets into the boat, and there's the multitude on the shore of the sea there. And he gets in the boat, and he sits down in the boat, and it becomes his pulpit, if you will. And he begins telling this story, this earthly story that has a spiritual meaning alongside of it. And he says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow." Now, in that day, a sower might have something like this. He might have a bag draped over his shoulder full of seed, and he goes out and he starts sowing. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some seed fell on the stony places, where they do not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. All along he's spreading his seeds. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and they choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so Jesus begins telling this earthly story that has a spiritual meaning to go alongside of it. And he gives us these four different types of soil, and all people fall in one of these four. So where are we? He first talks about the first type of soil, and he says that seed that fell among or by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. And I want you to notice these pictures, because in Palestine, there might be, the fields there were a little different than our fields. If we go out and plant a garden, we're going to give us probably a square, a rectangle, and man, we're going to have those rows, and we're going to be able to walk around it. But not so in this time. So the fields are spread out, and then they would have these paths. And if you'll notice these paths, they are very noticeable, aren't they? And so as this sower, this farmer goes out and he sows on this wayside, do you notice something unique and different about the pathway? It's worn, isn't it? Nothing grows on the pathway. Why might this pathway be like that? Why is this pathway so worn? You're right. Because the farmers have walked this path over and over and over and over and over and get the picture over and over and over again until this pathway is worn, it's flat, it's hard, and nothing's going to grow there. And so the seed that falls there, Jesus says, what seed is there? It doesn't penetrate the earth. And the birds come and they snatch it away. It's kind of like the hiking trails. If you like to hike, you go out in the woods and you hike. And what's that trail like? Well, it's worn out because people walk on it. Maybe it's a biking trail and you want to ride your bike, and that trail is worn out because people go over it and over and over and over it. Maybe you have a pet dog in your backyard. And if you have a fenced backyard, or maybe you have a dog run that you chain that dog to. And what happens? That dog runs from one side to the other. He may run down this side of the fence and then the back and up the other side of the fence. And what happens? That pathway begins to be worn, doesn't it? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how will it be seasoned? It is then," catch it, "it is then good for nothing, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man." Nothing can grow on that hard soil. Jesus then answers these his disciples, why he teaches in parables, and then he answers the parable. And so what I want us to do is, as we look at each soil, we'll look at Jesus' answer. So turn over to Matthew chapter 13 and look at verse 19. And Jesus is giving the answer to his disciples of what he meant when he originally told this parable of the different soils. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Why were these paths so hardened and worn down? Because they had been walked on over and over and over again. Jesus indicates that this type of soil represents the hard heart. Why is that heart so hard? Maybe it is because people have walked on that heart over and over and over and over again until that heart is so hard it doesn't want to receive the Word of God. Maybe that heart has been abused over and over and over and over again, and that heart doesn't want to receive the Word of God. Are you in that condition tonight? If you are, will you let Jesus soften your heart? Despite what tools Satan has done to harden your heart, will you realize Jesus loves you and he wants to soften your heart? Maybe it is that heart is hardened by the attitude of indifference. I really don't care. I don't care if I'm a Christian or not. I think about Felix. You remember Felix in the book of Acts when Paul, he stands before Felix, that governor, and he tells him about Jesus and he tells him about salvation and forgiveness and things like that. You remember what Felix said? I hear you, Paul, but man, I got other things going on. When it's a convenient time for me, I'll call for you. The attitude of indifference. Maybe it is that that heart has been hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I'm reminded of Pharaoh of old. You remember Pharaoh? Now, I realize the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but it's that type of heart that we're talking about, from the deceitfulness of sin. Let my people go, Moses would say. No! Pharaoh was that narcissistic person that all he thought about was himself. I wonder if he even really cared about his people other than they would praise him, other than they would give him things and provide opportunities for him to get things. Pharaoh even thought he was a god. Are you in this case tonight? If you are, know that God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die, yes, for you, so that you might have forgiveness of sin. Jesus says the wicked one, the devil, comes and he snatches away what has been sown in his heart. Now, why would Satan want to do that? Because Satan does not want anyone to hear the word and believe. Satan does not want anyone to hear the word of God and believe. He's here, you know. Maybe he's knocking on your heart. Maybe he's saying, you have time. I don't listen to that stuff. Have fun with me. He's here, you know. Satan will fill our minds with all kinds of stuff to distract us from the Word. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7. James would add, receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness that implanted Word of God that can save your souls. So how's your heart tonight? Is it hard? Whatever reason, let Jesus soften your heart tonight. Look at the next soil that he talks about in verses 5 and 6. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Jesus said, this is the soil that looks maybe something similar to this. There's soil around, but there's also rocks. And these rocks do not provide depth in this type of soil. Oh, yes, that soil may look good, but that soil has no depth. This is the shallow soil and represents the shallow heart. The shallow heart of a superficial minded individual. And Jesus says, when the seed is absorbed into the ground, it immediately springs up. Why? Because there's no depth. It's shallow. And when the sun comes out, it immediately withers. Now notice verses 20 and 21. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. This is that one who hears the word, immediately accepts it, becomes a New Testament Christian. But yet, when persecution or trials or difficulty comes, it's scorched and it withers because its roots are shallow. I want to read to you what Dr. David Roper says about this type of soil. One of the best ways to see how deeply rooted we are is to check how we react to persecution. The shallow Christian often looks as healthy as any other Christian until a follower of Jesus gets hard, until it becomes easier to disobey God than to obey Him. And he lists some examples. Until it's easier to stay in bed than to go to Bible study. Until it's easier to go fishing than to go to worship services. Until it's easier to remain quiet than to share the gospel. Until it's easier to go along with the world than to be the light of the world. Until it's easier to let error go unheeded than to stand up for truth. When I think about this shallow heart, I think about the people of Nineveh. You remember Nineveh? You remember the story of Jonah and how, oh, he was content as long as he was prophesying to the people of God. But as soon as God called him to go preach to those wicked, evil people of Nineveh, what did he do? He ran. Why? Because, God, I knew that you were a forgiving God. And those people of Nineveh do not deserve it. Yet, when Jonah finally preached, what happened? They repented immediately in that moment. But history tells us later, they didn't stay that way for long. So how about you? Is your heart conditioned tonight like that soil on the stony path? Are you allowing God's word to penetrate your heart and then water and cultivate that? Or is your heart shallow? Then look at the third soil that Jesus talks about. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Now this is probably the one that might affect us the most. J.W. McGarvey says that places in Palestine had thorns so thick that a man riding horseback could not go through. And Jesus says, there's a tight soil that as the seed is sown, it's also sown among thorns. Verse 22. Now he who received seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. You see, this soil is not hardened. This soil is not shallow. This soil has every appearance of being good soil. In fact, one gentleman talked about when he was growing up that I read, and how he would go out and instead of digging up the thorns and the weeds from the roots, he would just cut them off at the ground. It'd be easier, quicker, he's done. Yet, the roots of that plant, that weed, those thorns are still there. And this is the type of soil that maybe the thorns had been cut down to the ground, and so it has every appearance of being good soil. Yet, there's still something there. There's still something there that holds it back. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Luke adds the pleasures of life. You know, soil can only hold so much vegetation, right? So it is with our heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, you remember it? You cannot serve both God and mammon or wealth. You can't do it. It's impossible. I'm reminded of the church at Corinth. You remember the church at Corinth? Do you remember when Paul says, I've heard there's divisions among you and these things ought not to be. You're supposed to be the church. And yet we know Corinth continued to have problem after problem after problem. And Paul would continue to write letters and address these specific issues. It may be that their hearts were like this. It may be that their hearts were divided because of the way they used to be, because of the things of this world. And did you notice that Jesus didn't say about this particular type of soil, about this particular type of heart, that it would be killed or destroyed, did he? What did it say? It was choked. Gives the picture of a plant growing up among those thorns, and because those thorns choke it out, when you would open the head of that seed, it would be empty. Empty. How's your heart? Is it empty? Maybe you sit in these pews. Maybe we sit in these pews and we hear lesson after lesson after lesson, but yet our heart is still empty. And when we're in that condition, maybe it's time to pluck from the roots some thorns of life, so then we can too be like Jesus says finally. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What are you saying, Jesus? There's some good soil. When I think about good soil, I think about that rich, dark soil that looks like it will grow anything and would produce a field something similar to what we see in the picture. You see, Jesus says, this is the good, honest heart. Look at what he says in verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit, produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. You see, it's when we get rid of all the problems, all the issues. We don't pay attention to those insignificant things, like Steve talked about this morning. And we allow God's Word and the love of God to cultivate that heart so it's good and honest and it's open and it's humble to His Word. And as a result, what did Jesus say would happen? We will bear fruit. Some 30, some 100, some 60, some 30. You see, each of us have different potential. And therefore, we might yield different amounts of fruit. But the important thing is that we bear fruit as a result of cultivating, allowing God's Word to cultivate that heart so that we then have that honest and good heart. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. John chapter 15 and verse 8, Jesus said, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples, the New American Standard says. Paul would add this to it in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. How? Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm going to read to you one more thing that Dr. Roper says. What does it mean to bear fruit? The word fruit can mean result, outcome. To bear fruit for the Lord means that the Word has the desired outcome in our lives, that people can see the practical results of the Word in how we live. Can people see the results of God's Word in my life? We bear fruit as our life reflects the character of Jesus Christ. We bear fruit as we treat people with a greater kindness. We bear fruit as our love for spiritual things become apparent. We bear fruit as we share the gospel through our daily lives. So what type of soil is my heart tonight? You see, what Barry has to ask Barry is, where do I fit in those four types of soil? Is my heart hard? Why? Let Jesus in. Do I have that kind of heart that is shallow and I don't let the Word of God grow? Spend time in His Word. Let it change your life. Or is it that the Word is growing some, but because of all the problems in my life, in the world, or maybe even persecution because of the Word in my life, that I'm choked and I'm unfruitful? Let the Word of God penetrate your heart so that then you can be among that good soil and people will see Jesus living in you. Whenever we take Nolan back to Maryland for his checkups, one of the things that they check, one of the numbers, is called his chimerism number. What in the world is chimerism? Here's a definition from the National Institutes of Health website. The occurrence in an individual of two or more cell populations of different chromosomal constitutions derived from different individuals. In other words, inside one body are two different cell bodies. And so for Nolan, the one thing they're checking is to see what's the number of his donor cells that, in a sense of the word, are taking over control of his immune system. And so as I think about that, and as we think about that, I want you to ask yourself this question. What is my spiritual chimerism number? How much of Jesus is really taking control of my life? Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Because when we walk out of these doors, that is what will make all the difference. Tonight, are you a child of God? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that you and I might have forgiveness of sins. Will you do like those people did in the book of Acts? They came and they said, I'm letting that Word of God penetrate my heart and I'm ready to give my life to Him because I'm tired of the emptiness. Won't you do like they did? And they went down in that watery grave of baptism, showing, proving a result, an outcome of their belief, that I'm going to follow God no matter what. And they came up out of that watery grave of baptism, and the Bible says, like the eunuch, went on his way rejoicing, no longer empty. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe it is there's some cares of this world that are weighing you down, that are choking out your spiritual life. What better time? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Won't you give your life to Him? Won't you rededicate your life to Him? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, don't wait another moment, but come forward and let us assist you any way we can as together we stand and sing.